Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Don't be scared. Don't be scared. It's only drowning pool.
Drowning pool.
It's only he's dead.
Bodies.
By the way. He's dead.
Is he really?
Yeah, yeah. Overdose.
This was the theme song for like 9 WWE pay-per-views in the mid-2000s.
They made a lot of coin off this song.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got to think,
it's all over the place.
All the stadiums use this.
Oh, yeah.
At least
you know what
stadium.
Else I've heard is a big money maker and kind of a corny song? Saliva, click, click, boom.
Oh, my God.
I heard that's a big
it's
one.
Catchy. I mean,
makes
it's just
money.
Like, yeah, you could put it on any music video,
right.
Any highlight reel, click, click, boom, hit guys, hitting
anytime,
guys, scoring, whatever.
If you make a Western... or some kind of cowboy
yeah, but usually,
movie.
Yeah, but
you better use click click boom.
Yeah, but you can't use a new song in an old film, in my opinion.
Let me tell you,
it doesn't mesh.
You talk about the golden age of this music or that music. The golden age of I won't say pure hard rock, semi hard rock, like the Drowning Pools. You know, those, it was really the 2000s.
I was gonna say early 2000s.
Well,
Avenged Sevenfold,
2000 to 2010.
Yeah, Lamb of God
was, yeah.
came in on board.
That's where they all came in,
and
even the hard, really hard groups that were going like Throwdown, all those guys.
Yeah, they figured it out. I think they went through the grunge era. Grunge era kind of collapsed in the mid 90s, late 90s.
And you had that crazy headbanging era where they were too hard and there was people getting hurt at the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, Slipknot still going. Slipknot picked up in 2000, 99, 2000. They started picking up, but everybody came. You know why they all started in 2000? You know why? Pantera.
Well,
that is why. You ask any one of those metal guys, any one of them, who would you look up to? Who would you listen to? Who do you
Pantera?
Pantera in every
is
single mix.
Walk the greatest hard rock song of all time.
It's one of them.
I think it's got to be one.
It's one
right?
of them.
I think it's got to be one. It's the quintessential hard rock song
that
for
you
people
could,
who for those who
it
don't
was
even
the most
really
mainstream.
Like hard rock, right?
Besides Cowboys yeah. from Hell, Walk was the most mainstream Pantera ever.
You can
ever
bob
put
your
out.
Head to that. You know,
yeah, in
you know
every
I mean?
Rink, right. every stadium.
Don't you miss when you heard that kind of music
oh,
at hockey rinks?
Oh, dude. No, you know what? To be fair, actually, dude, Patrico, man,
he kills
he does
it.
It, dude.
He kills it. But
Patrico, Nashville does it too. They don't play country down there.
But, listen.
What?
Patrico's my boy. We went to CBC together. That's my dog.
Yeah.
I eat
I like,
with him before
I
every
like
game.
Him. I like everybody over
right?
there, by
they
the way.
They all do great.
They're awesome.
They all do great. But back when we were kids, at that building.
It was rocking.
When Tony Twist beat the crap out of somebody and got put in the box, they played Alice in Chains' Man in the Box.
Yes.
You know, that's the kind of stuff
yeah.
you heard.
With
you know
all,
I mean?
All the fruity foo-foo stuff. You know, that they
and
play.
And then somewhere about, like, 2009, 10, 11, it started
then it's
getting
like
softer, softer, softer.
Katy Perry.
Right, and then the year before Patrico takes over, we end up with Taylor Swift, Party in the USA,
yeah,
being played at hockey games.
You're giving me a buzzkill.
What do you think on the bench when you're sitting there trying to get mad enough to kill
they're
somebody?
They're not paying attention, to be completely honest with you.
You don't think they notice?
Not at all.
Then
now,
why do they care what songs you played in warm-up?
In warm-up, different story. In warm-ups, you're cruising around, you're getting your jam on, but on the bench, you're just, boom, you're focused. Now, for me, when I'm sitting around the whole time, I want to listen to metal because I got to go fight Brian McGrattan.
Right.
And I got to get jacked up. Now, if
play good
get,
music for Cam. He only gets three shifts
time
a night.
Out, I'm coming. It's my next shift. Play something hard for me. But look.
The sound guy's up there. He knows you're about to get on the ice, so he hits the Pantera
well,
real quick.
I had my bullet for my Valentine, which our guest we had on a couple weeks ago, the first thing they asked me was like, I loved your fight song. I go,
oh,
you remember
nice.
That? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's
nice.
Bull for my Valentine. So pretty cool stuff, man. I do like it. 855-282-8255. And you're wondering where TJ is. He is in Mexico getting married.
With some of my family
members. No, it's not a joke.
Some of my family members are
he's
giving
marrying
tours
your
down.
Member?
No.
Oh.
My Latino family
oh, yeah,
members.
Yeah, you're Latino. No, they're working there. Oh, cool.
They're
good
on the resort.
You.
Yeah, they're working.
Good, good, good.
Speaking of not very cool, Cam, did you
what,
see this
what
David
TJ
Duval
do?
Oh. Comment on the golf channel?
Yeah, I saw that. He's round. He's
wrong.
He's winding people up, a little bit.
It's one thing to think it. It's another thing to just completely kill a city that's hosting a
yeah,
major.
Settle down.
Before Thursday even gets here, right?
Talk about buzzkill.
The PGA deserves better than what's been going on here this week.
Oh, sorry. The weather?
With severe heat like they've had here, the course can only be so firm. And in an inch plus of rain, they'll be throwing darts. And that's not quite what everybody wants.
Shut up.
Shut up, David
Shut
Duval.
Up.
It rains places.
Sorry.
So what?
Well, hey, look, I'll email Mother Nature
right.
and we'll sort this out. She'll give you an IOU.
She likes you. She used to watch
she
your
does.
Fights on HockeyFights.com.
Yeah, she's a big hockey fan.
And so maybe if anyone could get this done, it would be you. But
what
David Duval, what a loser,
down.
Dude.
Settle down,
what a
son.
Loser, bro.
Good
like, quit,
God.
Quit crying.
Don't kill my buzz.
Quit crying, bro.
My God, dude. This is. Let us do our thing. Yeah, it's going to be muggy. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit wet.
Like, it's not
yeah,
hot.
So what?
Right.
I, I want a little bit of controversy. I don't care if the ball doesn't roll. I don't care. I want to see the guys.
You're playing golf.
I wanted the thunder, to be honest with you. I want it to be crazy. I want somebody to come out of
Jim
nowhere.
Jim Patton says get rid of the nets at hockey games, and Cam says get rid of the weather delays in golf tournaments.
I want them to suck it up, just like on what's the movie called? Caddyshack. And then I don't want anybody to get electrocuted, of course, but no, I want to see that. I want to see
like
guys.
It's not hot when you play in Phoenix or Vegas or like in Florida. You tell me it's not muggy in Florida. How many tournaments do you play in Florida
per
year?
You're just in Scotland. Right. The weather changes. It's 75 degrees and it's 42 degrees in sleet. And then it's like,
baby,
settle down.
David Duvall, come over to Kirkwood Brewhouse and Cam and I will give you something to cry about.
Yeah, really.
How about that?
Just calm down. Okay?
How about that?
Calm down a little bit. No big deal. We like it. No big deal. Just calm down a little bit.
Well, Cam likes you. I don't like you very much.
I don't.
You have a cool first name, though.
Yeah, you do. Not as cool as Robert Duvall. Tim McKernan, I was listening to what he was having to say this morning, like I always do, because I love that show. And he said, if you're gonna root for somebody, not just Tiger or whatnot, he said, root for Tommy Fleetwood. He said, Tim said he signed autographs afterwards for 30, 45 minutes.
Right.
Had a smile on his face. You know,
it's
muggy out
yet.
There. No, it's not. But I don't. So, okay, fine. He's still pretty big. And so what? It's even worse when a guy that's not that big time does big time.
Yeah, well, maybe
so,
he's trying to pump his own tires.
Well, fine, pump your own tires, but it still looks good. It still looks good, in my opinion. And you know,
it's for the kids.
It's for the kids. Fine, whatever.
Unless there's a bunch of autograph hungry.
For the kids,
there.
Which is a bunch of 75-year-old men out there, right. Like, hey, sign this. A bunch of John Hadleys, honestly.
The
out
kids
there.
Are watching NBA on YouTube.
It's yeah, like they don't care. The kids are bored with golf. Okay, it is what it is. And that's kind of not good for the sport. But anyway, he signed autographs forever. And then they asked him about the greens. And he's like, dude, we're spoiled. Like, who cares? We're spoiled, okay? That goes a long way with me. I'm rooting for Tommy Fleetwood now.
I'm just rooting for a fun tournament.
Yeah.
And excuse me, last time I checked, low scores are fun, right?
I agree.
You want to? I'd rather see. See, I always see this argument when the U.S. Open's going on, right? Where it's like, oh, man, they made this course too hard. Who wants to see a bunch of guys shoot 10 over? The guy at the rink around the corner at the course around the corner can shoot 10 over.
Mm.
And now, because guys are going to be able to stick greens. Because it's a soft soft track. People are like, oh, it's too easy now. Guys are going to be throwing darts. Like, well, who cares?
So what's
the
too
best
easy
player
for everybody?
The best player should still be throwing more darts than the mediocre
exactly.
players, right?
Exactly. Somebody's going to come out on top and have to do something different. And, you know, so anyway, it's going to be interesting as all hell. I'm excited.
Crybaby Duval.
I'm excited for the city, you know, seeing John Daly out there. How cool is it for Ozzie Smith, though? He had a big part of this, right? I mean,
right,
a big part
right,
of bringing
right.
this over here. I don't know how that all works.
I can't. Who tweeted
how
that?
How does
this
that
morning?
Work?
It was Jay Randolph Jr. I actually tweeted
we're
going to
get
morning,
him on Friday, by the way.
That nobody's done more for St. Louis golf over the last 10 years than Ozzie Smith.
What's he done for baseball?
Well,
they got a problem. You got to go back and forth.
Well,
no,
say,
we love Ozzie Smith.
La Russa was involved up until a few years ago, so probably not much.
Yeah, so pretty cool for Ozzie, man, to step up this way. I didn't know he was that big into golf, but apparently he is. And, you know, when you're that big of a. Big of a celebrity in this town, and you definitely have some pull. And he's always at all kinds of events too, man. I see him everywhere. Hell, he went to the 590 party at Randy Markell's
right, he
house.
He was there doing songs and stuff.
And he was dancing, and me and Kate went up there and started dancing next to him and his wife, and a little slow dancing. He put me to shame, of course, but pretty cool stuff, man. And the guy's all over the place, and he's always got a smile on his face. But for him to bring this over here again, I don't know how that goes down, and if somebody wants to call in and explain how that works,
right?
But I do know, and I've read, and I've talked to a lot of people that said Ozzie had a big part in having this event.
Our boy David Solomon on the Bellerive grounds right now, shooting us some quotes back to the studio. The amount of fans here yesterday was absurd. I've never seen anything like that on a Tuesday. That's Justin Thomas commenting on the fan support of the PGA Championship.
Good.
You know, you're hearing a bunch of players say that. Like,
I know.
You know, and what do we talk about at prospect camp? How would you like to be a 19, 20-year-old kid coming from the O, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you show up, you hear about Toronto and Montreal, how you get 10,000 people to show up and watch a practice in those cities because it's so hard to get a ticket to a game, right? But you don't think you're going to show up to St. Louis and there's going to be, you know, 8,000 people at a shut-down mall to watch a bunch of
in
guys they've never
mall.
Heard of
an abandoned
play
mall.
Hockey, right?
A mall
but
that
you get that in St. Louis.
You do, and they're just fans are craving hockey. They're craving anything.
Well, it's just a great sports town, man.
It is.
And I think they've gotten even better without the Rams, I got to tell you. I think they've gotten even better without the Rams.
Because
it forced everybody to kind of come back together and say, you know what? Biggest league in the world, my ass. We don't need you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it'd be nice to still have that.
No, it wouldn't. I love the dynamic.
For me, I don't care.
Baseball in the summer, hockey in the winter. We don't need anything else here.
Boom. It's convoluted.
Right. You got Mizzou for basketball and football. Get behind the state team, and that's it.
I tell you what, it is a pretty cool feeling going out to the Mills, which when you walk in
the NFL one bit.
When you walk into that place, it looks like you're in a zombie apocalypse movie
trying
to escape the mall.
You
know, what movie is that from?
But somehow they still have a Sbarro and a Panda.
Winsel,
they have like the two most popular chain restaurants because, you know, they probably
signed
they probably signed like 20-year leases when the Mills opens.
I know, they're like, we up yet? We up yet?
The talk is they're going to tear everything down except for the rink, Sears, and what is that, Cabela's, I guess? That's not Cabela's, is it?
Yeah, Cabela's.
Is it Cabela's?
I think that's going under too,
and
man.
No, they're going to tear it all down, and those are going to be standalones.
Oh, okay.
That's what I've heard, at least.
It's just, very depressing out there. But
didn't the USHL owner buy the Mills?
I don't know.
I thought he built it. Strickland.
Did Strickland lie again? Did he lie again?
No, he probably knows this. He's not well-versed on the Chesterfield project, as we heard, but I think he's well-versed on the Mills situation.
Well, good for you, because I don't care
about
that
situation. Also, he's very well-versed on Charlie Blackmon.
Blackmon?
Blackmon.
It's different than Blackmon.
Charlie Blackmon!
We got Daddy Padre on. Yeah, go ahead and put him through, big boy. What up, kid?
What up, boy?
What's up, bro?
What up?
How you doing?
Not bad. How are you?
Chilling, man.
Yo, that place was super muddy yesterday. I was out there at the PGA. I've never been to anything like that. That's pretty cool. I can't wait for this weekend. You going to be out there, Cam?
Be honest, Cam.
I don't know.
The answer is no.
Look,
unless he's promised me passes.
If somebody carry me up in like a big chair and then and place me under a nice tree and then, you know, get a bunch of booze put around us and maybe a couple this and that, then yeah, maybe I go to a VIP section I can get into. Other than that, I'm not standing 20 deep with a bunch of old men and trying to locate a ball a guy hit that I can't even see anyway because there's 20 people in front of me.
Why do you hate seniors, Cam?
You drive me crazy.
Well, I was gonna go and watch Doug Vaughn conduct journalism too in the same shirt that he's been wearing 5 days in a row.
Well, I'm gonna call Doug Armstrong and see if I can lay on the fairway like he did.
Dude, how about that picture? My buddy got that pic and tweeted out, like, "Got to play Men's League with me." And I'm like, "Dude, that's not Doug Armstrong." And he's like,
"Oh, it is.
Swear to God, it is."
Good for him. Why wouldn't he do that?
Yeah, he's had a pretty good summer. Takes the time off.
I'd do the same thing. I'd have my shirt off getting a tan.
No,
I'd be walking around. If I was Doug, I would have walked in there with a shirt that says, "Did you see the summer I had?
Did you see? I am Doug Armstrong. Look what I did."
Or you know what? Just keep it real simple. Credit our Lippo from Twitter here. Just put 622 blue right there on a t-shirt.
Go ahead. Call them. Call up. Get those season tickets going, baby.
Seriously. Hey, Cam.
Yo.
Tomorrow. Are you skating or what?
Yeah, man. I'm skating. We got okay. And here's what. I got Cal Heater coming out. Who I don't know who
he's. CBC boy.
CBC boy.
CBC boy.
Look, you would have got the text because you put on a show and it's great for radio and things like that. But I also got Mike McKenna coming out too.
It's fine.
I think he's not going to play well
because
I think he's not going to take it serious.
Mentally.
So I got two big boys coming out.
Focus
on the men's league, then, Daddy Padre.
Here's the deal. You've got, you know, you're talking about three NHL caliber goaltenders here. Is what you've got to choose from.
Isn't that funny?
An embarrassment of riches for a pickup hockey game.
No, that's actually, look, people scramble to find goalies.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's an embarrassment of riches.
Everybody flocks towards it. It's a great skate. Ask Daddy Padre. He'll tell you.
Last time you were texting me, I was on the ice at my men's league game, so I couldn't get back to you quick enough. That's why I was asking right now. So
yeah, don't let that happen again.
What am I supposed to do, bring the phone in the crease with me?
Exactly.
Well, maybe. I play men's league with some guys who bring their phone on the bench.
Exactly.
Just smack them.
I know. Like,
I just want to smack.
It's an hour. Like, let it go. With your wife tweeting you, get out of here.
What'd you guys think of that Jeff Skinner trade? That was a pretty solid haul for Jeff. I mean, honest to God, they didn't really give up as much as I thought Skinner was going to give, but I guess maybe his value's dropped a lot, or Carolina just didn't give a crap.
You know, I think we're going to get more in depth here in the next segment on this because there's some funny shade being thrown on the Carolina Hurricanes for this trade. I got to agree, Daddy Padre. I was taken aback by the package that Buffalo gave to get him. That's a steal. I think if you offer that deal to 31 NHL clubs, 31 NHL GMs take it, even if they don't have cap space. They'll try to make cap space when you can get a player like that for such a small return. And you know what I think hurt his value the most is the fact that Jeff Skinner's only under control for one more year, and it's kind of all but known he's going to test free agency because he's never done it before.
Right, and Cliff, too, or the second round pick, he's only a second rounder. And I believe I thought that they might have got like Alex Nylander back because I know that he's been struggling with Buffalo. He hasn't really, like, you know, got his footing yet. So, I don't know. I was kind of surprised with the Hall, though, but like you said.
Buffalo might be okay. Like, they might be okay. They're,
Buffalo's gonna be nasty.
You know what Buffalo's doing? Buffalo took a page out of the Vegas playbook, and they're getting players that fit what they want to do. They're not trying to find good players.
Middle stat.
They're trying to find their type of player. And people talk, well, how does Berglund and Sabacca fit? Listen, Sabacca probably
doesn't. Show them anywhere.
But tell me right now that you
don't
think.
Third line.
Yeah, Berglund's going to be great on their third line. He's going to be wonderful out there. And I'll tell you what, Berglund's probably going to end up in their top six at some point. Because that's a lot of pressure to put on Casey Mittelstadt right off the bat.
Real quick, Daddy Padre, Gino Ojek from Bevo Mill always chirps me. He goes, when you played as little as Cam, he could probably get away with bringing a phone on the bench. Thank you, Gino. Thank you. How do you know I didn't?
No, yeah. Buffalo, honest to God, like, I could see them making the playoffs this year in the East because that Darlene pickup's going to be awesome.
Oh, God, I forgot about him.
Middlestats is going to be filthy because, like, that guy just ripped apart college hockey. And he,
which means
he was
nothing.
Really good last year.
Hey, knock it off, you OHL guy.
I mean, which means nothing. Look, you're talking about Wait, time out. You're talking about
OHL.
Like
wait,
dude. You're saying that this guy's getting 120 points in the O, and they don't come out and they do nothing,
no.
And they go into college
Minnesota,
and get 40 points in 30 games that you only play? Yeah, that's a big jump. Good luck with that. Although you're about 3 years older than you would coming
just
out of the O.
Just because you didn't get a D1 offer.
I did get a D1 offer from Maine.
You?
Yeah, I did.
How about that?
I know.
And
get
you,
out of my house.
And you didn't go to Maine?
No way.
Oh, you.
Worked out.
Middlestad, though, was pretty sick this year in the World Juniors, and when he had those like 6 or 7 games at the end of the year, he looked real good. I think he'll be good this year. Eichel and him is a 1-2 punch. That's pretty nasty out of the middle.
That's they're good. They're Buffalo's building the right way. I also think that they last time
Ryan
I checked,
Ellis hasn't been signed yet.
Yeah, he's going to be out there.
Nashville, I can't believe that.
Nashville is going to get him locked up. I'm not, of course. The one thing that Buffalo definitely has going for them is they've got statistically one of the three best goaltenders in the NHL last year.
Yeah.
That's now their goalie. So
I know.
Figure.
No, they're going to be okay, man. They're going to be okay.
And their fans are, like, clamoring for that Linus Ullmark, the guy that tore up the AHL last year to, like, play over Hutton. I'm thinking Hutton literally was unreal last year. I don't know why you guys aren't wanting to give him the starting
job. Well,
they're
going to give him every shot possible. They'll give Hutz every shot possible.
And you know what people talk about, and I never understood this, people talk about the effect that Martin Brodeur had on Jake Allen when that was going on, right? No one talks about the effect Martin Brodeur could have possibly had on Carter Hutton. They were both being coached by the Hall of Famer at the same time. Carter Hutton, most goalies and Daddy Padre, I think, will agree with me. They don't hit their prime until about 29, and then they stay there until about 33, right? 33, 34. That's where Carter Hutton's at right now, and right before he hit that part of his career, he was getting mentored by Martin Brodeur. So if Martin Brodeur could have this supreme effect on Jake Allen, why couldn't he have had the same effect on Carter Hutton? That's the argument I made last year.
They might be okay next year.
One more before I get off. What do you guys think?
What is this, the Daddy Padre show?
That's exactly what I was going to ask,
What is this, the Daddy Padre show? What?
Hey, what up, Hadley? How's it going?
It's all good in the hood. How are you? Just chilling at the Markel crib, you know.
You know.
this right now. But anyways, I was just wondering, do you guys...
Sorry for interrupting your show. Back to you.
What'd you say?
You think Falk will go to the Blackhawks now? Because now the Skinner domino fell. I wonder if he'll... Because they've been rumoring that all summer long. Because the Blackhawks really didn't do much.
Well,
I think the Blackhawks are saving the money for Panarin.
They might get a big dog. They might get the big dog back.
Gosh.
Hey, Panarin's like, I like Columbus. It's cool. Chicago, what are you guys up to? You want to come back there?
He keeps mentioning one city, and it's Chicago.
Yeah. When you play in Chicago, it's hard not to play. It's hard to play anywhere else, to be honest with you. It really is.
Right.
Anyway. All right, Daddy Padre, be cool.
Thanks, brother.
I'll let you boys go.
All right, buddy.
See ya.
We're going to get more into that Panarin situation in the next segment when we talk more pucks, and we're going to get into the Ryan O'Reilly power play stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of different situations. 855-282-8255. Jen Hadley, what's up, buddy? Thank you for lunch. Of course, it's always delicious at Kirkwood Brewhouse. Might as well do our live read right now. We'll go about to Kirkwood Brewhouse.
Do it.
How many meals did you eat there today?
Two. And I got a 3 o'clock meeting over there.
There you go.
About four?
Dinner time.
So, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Because I'm like John. I do it for because I intermittent fast, but the older folks, they like to eat dinner real early.
John was eating a bunch of calamari over there. I mean, it's a monster plate. It's
that's
delicious.
Healthy.
So
right?
he's monster. And he's crushing it. And all of a sudden, he's done. And I order a burger. And the poor waitress, who John probably just tortures, which John's always nice to.
Right.
But he's just confusing when he orders. I mean, you know, John's not, you know, being ignorant or anything. No, he's just. his mindset when he looks at that menu, which does change here
he
and there.
He also orders multiple dishes from what I've noticed.
It's unbelievable, and he'll just ask all these questions. And
he's a foodie that John Hadley,
isn't he? It's unbelievable.
He's a foodie. So he catches new Food Network
show. He pounds all this food, and all of a sudden she gets done, and she orders, and when she walks away, and he goes, whoa, it's lunchtime now. So that was his breakfast.
Right.
It took about an hour, and now it's lunchtime, so we ordered some more food.
Exactly.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Text line, what would John Hadley's Food Network food show be called? How about that for a fun text line segment?
Dude, John, can you eat a lot at once, like man versus food?
Yeah.
Can you? Like, honestly, because Jim Campbell could do the same thing. Like, if you put 50 hot dogs in front of Jim Campbell, he might get a little weird with them, but he'll be able to eat all of those. Like, that dude is ridiculous.
Now, you saw H. Balzer in his competition eating days. You knew him back then. Are you saying that you're on a Balzer-esque level as far as putting away large amounts of food?
Oh, yeah, because all I have to do is start a conversation, ask him one football question. Then he's talking for like 40 minutes, and I'm eating while he's doing it, and I'm beating him because he can't stop talking.
It's unbelievable, it's like, dude.
Hello, Howard. It's a one-hour show.
Howie can go on and on. We were over at Ryan Kelly's. Actually, Ryan Kelly's on his way up to go climb that mountain.
And you're getting ready for your climb next
Denali.
Year at the Denali.
Pretty cool stuff, man. And so he's doing great work for them, for all those charities, kids with cancer stuff. So good luck to Ryan Kelly. He's climbing that mountain, Grand Tetons. Man, oh, man, it's got to be difficult. And he's bringing four of his crew members there.
He's a bro, by the way.
He's cool.
He's a bro. I never met him before.
By the way, FYI, again, for millennials who are too stupid to listen to logic, listen to people who've been through the wars of life.
Mm-hmm.
Back when Southwest stock was around $43 a share.
Oh, John was talking about
that. I kept telling him, know what, millennials, you little morons. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's $500, $5,000, or $50,000. You need to invest it and just build it in time. And I said, here's a perfect stop for you to pick. Southwest Airlines. Went on this spiel for 2 days trying to help these punk, useless millennials get out of their mommy's basement.
You listen, Lukey?
Right.
Well,
what's the
now there's a report out that Southwest Airlines would be a perfect fit for Warren Buffett's company. Oof. And the stock is nearly up to $60 today.
You know what else?
$60. So you know what? If you had just bought 20 shares, and I said this in the spring,
you did.
6 months later, you would have gained like 40% on your money, when you include dividends.
When Warren Buffett gets involved, and there's a phrase that I'll never forget when I was learning about investing: stock split good. When Warren Buffett gets involved, stock split.
And you don't have to be a genius, Dave. Even if the economy goes bad and people with no money have to travel, which airline are they going to take?
Southwest.
That's it. I mean, Southwest will get hurt in a bad economy, but Southwest will not feel the pain that the upper tier airlines will. In fact, they may not feel much pain at all, because the people from the upper tier of flights will more than replace the people with no money that can't take a flight, and boom. Bada bing.
Bada bing, bada boom, baby.
They are the T-Mobile of the airline world, really.
There you go. Kirkwood Brewhouse. Unbelievable.
They got good stuff. They got good stuff. They got 4K TVs. They got 27 locally crafted beers on tap. We've all had a great, well, John, you haven't had any. I've had a ton of them. One sitting, of course.
They've got that Tank 7 over there, too.
They got a bunch of good stuff, man, and their burgers, their candy bacon, it's all great stuff. And me and John always go over there and enjoy the food at the Kirkwood Brewhouse. Ryan Copey says, real quick, copy, I should say, because he corrected me one time, too hot and muggy to pursue the $10 million purse?
Right.
Excuse me while I cough in your backswing. Must either be this unreasonably cool weather we're having, or me. It got cut off, but anyway, no, you're right. Hey, sorry, it's a little muggy. Oh, you don't want that tension smell?
David
okay.
Duvall.
We
David
all feel
Duvall.
So bad for you. Let me tell you about Dynamic Protective Coatings. Dynamic Protective Coatings offers residential, commercial, industrial, and institutional floor coatings. Their floor coatings require little to no maintenance and have a long lifespan. They actually really do. I've seen these guys in action firsthand. Dynamic Protective Coatings engages with the customer from the outset to ensure that proper materials are chosen for the environment and condition of the satisfaction There's a lot of aspects to consider when applying a protective coating to your floor, and it's critical to have vast understanding of each of these components and how they properly fit together, John Hadley. They understand that downtime and disruption for maintenance, repair, and replacement can be costly for your business, John. Dynamic Protective Coating strives to work swiftly to keep your costs and closure times low without compromising detail critical to surface preparation, John.
Big time.
Dang. Dynamic Protective Coatings is an application specialist completely independent from chemical manufacturers, so they're not tied to a specific product, which greatly opens up the number of options they can use to find a solution that best fulfills your needs and meets the application criteria. Give them a call, 314-254-5084. What's that number, John? 314-254-5084, or check them out online at dynamicprotectivecoatings.com.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
No, it wasn't. This is 5-9 The Fan, 5-9TheFan.com. We'll be back.